I hope you're thinking about that. You know, how did I welcome some people today? Now, I'm talking about not just in church. I'm talking your life ought to be a welcoming life. Does that make sense? And I kind of want to help you a little bit because guess what? Most people that don't go to church think we're mean. And unfortunately, we've done a good job confirming that belief. Seriously, we have. I mean, if you're at the grocery store, you're over at Walmart, you're in the line, who are some of the most anxious people? Christians. The drunks are laid back. They go, oh, we'll get through here. But Christians are anxious because they're not getting their way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're really going to follow Jesus Christ, you have to let go of your way and embrace Jesus' way. Now, here's what's tough. Jesus doesn't do things like we do. Jesus doesn't throw rocks where we throw rocks. And he does throw rocks where we don't want rocks thrown. Jesus kind of does things backwards of us. Have you noticed that? And it's very troubling because we want Jesus to act like who? We do. Well, surely the Lord's a Baptist. I mean, it's going to be so funny. One of the things that my life in the last 10 years I've been exposed to, and it's taught me a lot about the Bible. I of all unlikely people to be given this assignment, one of my moments of conversation in ministry is I'm a strong supporter of Israel, so I now have about 16,000 Jewish friends. And one of the meetings that I meet with are rabbis. And so they always ask me, they go, how can you be so Jewish? I said, oh, no, I got this big Jew living inside of me. That could be it. And I want you to know that Jesus is Jewish. He's not a white American. Now, this is going to shock some of you. He's not a Republican. And I'm going to shock the other half of you. He's not a Democrat. And he's not an independent because he knows how to make up his mind. So he is the Son of God, born from the promise of Abraham. I will make you a great nation, and that nation will come through this promise. And here's what I love about God. God never breaks a promise. How many of y'all glad to know that God never breaks a promise? That God never breaks a promise. I'm going to show you real quick, and we're going to pray. A long, 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 long time ago. That's my scientific of how many million years you want to put to that, or whatever you want to say. God said this, though. Let there be. What'd you see today? Where did that come from? Let there be. Now, I want you to hang that concept inside of you. What is God saying to you that he's promised you that you're not listening to? You know, really, if you look at it, if we really embrace what Jesus Christ has said into our life, we should be the most extraordinary people on the face of the earth. And so we're going to pray, and tonight I'm going to ask you to do this. Will you receive what God has said about you? And quit questioning it. And so if you want to go ahead and go there, we're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we're going to see what Jesus does when people get caught. Any of y'all ever been caught? I mean caught. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have any of y'all ever been involved in the big sins? That's a trick question. They're all big. They all separate us from God. So what happens when we get caught in sin? And I'm going to introduce you to a concept, Pastor Grant. This church is beginning to participate in this concept. I hope you will do that more so. Also, it's called catch and release. We got any fishermen in the house? Y'all fish around here? Anybody fish around here? Anybody fish? Jeff, you fish? That's awesome. Do you fish like for big bass? I bet you got a cool boat and everything. With hair like that, I guarantee you got sonar. You know what I'm talking about? He's kind of got the Blake Shelton fishing thing going on out there, you know. So anyway, but watch this. Jesus catches us. And a lot of us like to be caught by Jesus. But we forget the second part. He releases us to go be his people. So first of all, many thanks to all of you. Thank you for taking your time to be here tonight. So I don't want God to waste your time. So let us pray and let's get into his word. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all these beautiful people in Mount Sterling. I thank you for those that are believing. I thank you for those who are going to believe. I thank you for those that are doubting that they might consider what you would do in their lives. Lord, we thank you that the religious are here today. Lord, may they hear a word from you. And Lord, we thank you that the irreligious have showed up today, that they might hear a word from you. Lord, we thank you that we're filled with sinners that are saved, and then we just have sinners that we pray and hope will be saved. God, most of all, tonight, remind us that we are your people, and because of that, all things are made possible. So, Lord, may you catch us with grace tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus has been in one of his sacred places. If you'll go to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. If I can recall your Sunday school minds for just a moment, it's at the Mount of Olives that Jesus goes and he prays and he reflects. And you know what really Jesus does in the Mount of Olives? He stays to the purpose of God. Now, I think everybody needs a Mount of Olives if you're going to follow Jesus. I just want to emphasize this. You must pray if you're going to follow. You won't follow without prayer. Now, let's just be honest. Sometimes we as the church, we participate in a lot of activity, but it may not necessarily take the Mount of Olives. See, we get caught up in doing things. And Jesus has not called us to just be doers. He's called us to be. You see the difference in that? To be like Christ to the world is a whole lot harder than just handing out clothes. But handing out clothes at times is being what Christ is to the world. And so I want to encourage you to keep your being in Jesus before your doing for Jesus. Does that make sense? Now we got a group of people that show up. Here's the scenario. Jesus is in the temple. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. Early in the morning. So when did Jesus start his day? Whew. I'm glad I wasn't Jesus. We'd be celebrating Easter at noon. If I was the Savior, I'd have got up and had brunch. But early in the morning, he rises from the what? Grave. Now note this in the scripture. Early in the morning, Jesus goes to temple, as would be a Jewish custom for a rabbi. First thing in the morning, where are they setting their focus? Very first thing in the morning, where are they setting their focus? Prayer. Why? Somebody tell me. Oh, I love it. Y'all talk. Y'all are so fun. Now, don't talk too much or I'll go long, okay? Do not stimulate me. I'm stimulated enough, okay? But what? Why early in the morning is it Jewish custom to go get centered and focus on God? To remind them they are God's people. The Jews are God's chosen people. No matter what anybody says, they are God's chosen people. They are still God's chosen people. No matter what any crackpot preacher tells you, they are God's chosen people. Because he said that to Abraham, and he will not take back his word. Somebody understand how powerful God is. God said the church will be here in the end. That's the only hope I have for the church. I meet with preachers. They won't be here in the end. But Jesus' church will be here in the end. You know why I trust the church? Jesus said it'd be here in the end. And I like to scare people. He didn't say Democrats would be here in the end. Didn't say Obama would be here in the end. Didn't say the Baptists would be here in the end. Didn't say our denominational organization would be here in the end. He said his living bride would be centered at the day the trumpet blows and he calls his church home. How many of you believe what Jesus said? So guess what? How many of y'all are ready to go to the house if it blows? Here's what I don't get. I have people in my fellowship that come up to me and they go, Pastor, you think it's the end of time? I said, let me tell you what it is. It's the end of time as you know it. But it's not the end of time as God knows it. They say, why? I said, because God's time never ends. So you got a question. If you're in Christ, you are timeless. And if you're without Christ, the clock is running. See, I'm not going to die. I've already died once. I died unto myself. I was crucified with Christ on the cross. That's what it says in Galatians 2:20. And now I'm risen to a new life. And some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm going to shed, but I'm not going to die. I'm going to shed this old body. I don't know if y'all know, but I've got enough miles on mine. I got parts starting to fall off. Any of y'all in the same situation? You, brother, you got, you know, I used to hear these old men talk about things that went on with them. Well, let me tell you what. I'm up early in the morning now, every morning, so I just go ahead and pray anyway. I always wonder why old men were closer to God. It's because they got to get up early in the morning to take care of business. And then they can't go back to sleep, and their wife's asleep, and so you might as well talk to Jesus. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. He's in the place of where God is to be. Now, this is kind of awesome, isn't it? We got the temple where they go worship God, and God is at the temple, and people don't know that he is. Kind of weird, isn't it, Pastor Grant? Here's the Son of God, God in flesh, at the temple, and all the temple people don't know who it really is. Yet they've gone to the temple, you know, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, pilgrimage after pilgrimage, to go beseech the great and mighty God that has made them the people of God. And here's God literally right in front of them, and they don't know who he is. Please do not shame those people, because I'm not sure we do. Some of y'all would be so mad if Jesus didn't like praise and worship. Some of you will be appalled if we go to heaven and we don't have any Southern gospel. Some of you are just absolutely certain that there'll be a pipe organ with nothing but hymns. I am positive that there are black angels up there playing jazz. That's what I'm telling you is going on. There ain't no white angels can play no jazz. You know what I mean? And it's good and it's great and it's wonderful and God's people are together. Sometimes we want God to be what we want him to be. Young people, man, listen, you guys got to be really careful, because there's a lot of Jesus junk out there today. That's not true. People are trying to make Jesus cool, and they're trying to make him hip, and they're trying to make him fit your generation. Jesus doesn't fit our generations. He calls us out to be a part of his generation. Here's the problem with generations. One day, I know y'all think y'all look really cool right now. One day, you will hide the pictures you have made in high school. You know how I know? Go home and ask your parents to get their high school pictures out. How many of y'all remember mullets? Come on, I'm close to your achy breaky heart up here. We're just down the road. Huh? Come on, I'm in Kentucky. Yeah. I had a mullet. What was worse, I had a mullet and thought it was cool. That's what happens. Now, some of you that are a little bit older, we got a few. Bill, did you ever wear a polyester leisure suit? I thought Bill was going to say, what do you mean, wear one? I wear one every Sunday. What's the deal? I outgrew it. Yeah, I outgrew it. See, we have to, hold on, now follow me here. If we try to do ministry according to the generational moments of our journey, it'll always be temporary. But God's what? Eternal. So God's calling every one of you that don't have a relationship with him to an eternal position with him. So God, Jesus is there in the temple courts. He's teaching. And I just, Pastor Grant, this just heads up, and y'all are doing it here. Look, all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. People want to hear about Jesus. They still want to hear about, guess who? Jesus. I talk to people about Jesus. I don't talk to people about Hillview Heights Church because they don't hear about Hillview Heights Church. I don't talk to people about my ministry because they don't want to hear about my ministry. I don't talk to people about other pastors because they don't want to hear about other pastors. Guess what they really want to hear about? So what have you been talking about? And you say, well, at our church, you don't have a church. How many, I just want everybody, just tell somebody, I don't have a church. Go ahead and tell them. Let's go ahead and get rid of our church. Pastor Grant, this is not your church. Pastor John, this is not your church. This is Jesus' church. And so guess what? When you get to Jesus' church, you quit acting arrogant and cocky. You quit walking around going, well, I think we ought to do this. Because Jesus goes, I don't. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus doesn't care what we think? Boy, that's hard on some of you. I can see some of you right now grimacing. Well, now, I'll tell you one thing, Pastor Bart, gosh, he cares what I think. I've been to 6 Bible studies. I love it. We got some Bible study junkies in our church. I just love it. They're addicted to going to Bible study. And I ask them all the time, I said, when are you going to do what you've learned? I mean, I got people, they've been in Bible study all their life and never led one person to the Lord. And here's what's so funny. They think they're mature. They're just nerds. Wearing leisure suits. I mean, it's awful. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Bill. No, wait. I'm not saying Bible study is not important, but Bible study doesn't work till you become a Bible study follower. You see, you got to do something with what Jesus teaches you. I mean, it's cracked me up. We've spent billions of dollars literally in the church over the past 40 years teaching people how to do evangelism, and nobody does evangelism. They just get certified all the time. I mean, how many of y'all would be a little ticked off if the heart surgeon just kept going to medical school all the time? And you had a heart problem. I'm like, hey, baby, do some of your study on me. Wasn't that kind of like the church sometimes? We just talk about it. And Jesus is going, go do it. He taught them with authority. And guess what he said? He's teaching them. And all the people had gathered. I just want to tell you, let all the people gather here. I'm so excited to see a church that has different kinds of people in it. Y'all just give God a hand clap that he's drawing all kinds of people here. Amen. Amen. I get so sick and tired of going to all white churches, all black churches, all Hispanic churches. It's so gross. And then even people say unbiblical things like this. We're a Hispanic church. Never found one in the Bible. Never found a black church in the Bible. Never found a white church in the Bible. I just find church. In fact, Jesus doesn't even allow for a Jewish church. He just says, this is my bride. And she's amazing. She comes in all different IQs. How many of y'all realize y'all got some really smart people here and you got some people working on it? Amen? Amen? Oh, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going over here. I got to talk to these beautiful young people. I want y'all to know the truth. There is no such thing as equality. It has never existed. It is a unicorn and is a fantasy. You got that? Have you ever gone to school? Have you ever sat next to somebody? Have you noticed how somebody makes an A in algebra, and then there's people like me that can't even spell algebra? You know what that means? God did not make me to be an engineer. Find who you are and follow Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so tired of all these lies people been telling and just keep repeating on the TV over and over again. God made you special. Be who you've been made to be. Amen? And every one of us got here. There's only one place of equality. I'm going to give it to you. We've all sinned. And when it comes to sinning, we all get unequal. The one place that we're equal, we all say, well, I'm going to tell you what Pastor says now. That dude over there, he's really sinned. Come on, I've been in church a long time. I've kind of sinned. I was at this big revival. I told you about this guy, man. He's preaching on everything. And he started going on a rant. He weighed about 450 pounds. And he's talking about everybody's addictions, but his. He had 3 chins. I mean, one of these preachers, I mean, he had reverb built in. He's up there and he's like, oh, y'all, we smoke cigarettes. God does not want to live in a smokehouse. God does not want to live in a tub of alcohol. So after he got done preaching, I didn't do it like in the middle of service because I thought that'd be rude. So after it's over with, I said, hey, Pastor, I just want to let you know that God don't like mega malls either. That's in the list right next to everything that you preach. It's amazing to me how you skipped that one. I said, it's always right beside the drunks. There's no comma. Drunks, gluttons. It doesn't say choose one or the other. What was I trying to show him? We all get self-righteous about the things that hadn't happened to us. And we sorely forget that something's happened to everybody. You've either messed up or you're about to mess up. How many of y'all found that to be true? I'm getting real real tonight. Now, I got good news. If anybody here met, just go here. We'll start easy, okay? I might have made a mistake. Tell your neighbor that. I might have made a mistake. Come on, go on. Go. Might have made a mistake. Now, if you're sitting next to your wife, she's looking at you going, might have. But I want you to know everybody's messed up. Now, come on, we got to get there because, come on, we do not believe that in the church. Or at least this, let me propose this. We don't act like that when we get out in the world. Here's what people think we are. They think we're perfect. I got buddies that I try to get to go to church, and they say, Rev, man, you a cool guy, and I'd like to come to church, but, man, there's perfect people in there. I said, there is not. I pastor them. And I said, and they're led by an imperfect pastor. How many of y'all know Grant's loving and cheerful and everything, but Michelle, is he perfect? No. See how quick that was? Did you see there wasn't any even contemplation on that? Let's see how big a boy are you. Are you married to perfect? See how much hesitation there was there. That's what we do. Okay, now hold on. I'm going somewhere this quick. You better pay attention tonight. We have all sinned. If you don't mind, look at somebody and say, that means you. Now, I'm going to ask God to do something tonight. He needs to show you where your sin is. Because we have this human thing where we try to walk around it. We got a group that's there at the temple. They were the masters of walking around sin. They're called Pharisees. And they sin as much as everybody. They just lie better. And they always try to find a loophole. They're like a lawyer or a politician. That's not what I really meant. But that's what really happened. So all the people are sitting there. Let's look at this. They're sitting there, and Jesus is teaching them the wonderful things of the kingdom. He's showing them heaven. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, can you hear them? Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? Now before we get up on our high horse, when it comes to adultery, I mean, that's one of the big ones, right? Huh? That's the one that makes social media. That's the one that we like to whisper about. And here, these Pharisees, these religious people, I want you to see how little compassion they have. I want you to see that if you're going to be religious, how little you care about people. That they would walk a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Now, we got a problem here. How do you catch somebody in the act of adultery? You go looking for it. We got a peeping Tom Pharisee somewhere. I mean, think about it. Has that ever occurred to you on Scripture? How do you catch somebody? They didn't have cell phones with cameras on them. Now today, just in case y'all get tempted by the sin of adultery, you can be caught real quick. Because somebody that knows your wife will be in the same restaurant you're in, snap. And you will be Snapchat fodder. It's true. They'll have you up on YouTube before you get home. And you'll be what? Caught. Now, she had sinned. That's not in question. She had been caught. That's not in question. In fact, the scripture even goes to the detail. She was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, this is what people do. You cannot, it is absolutely impossible to have adultery by yourself. Note what we're missing. Ladies, you all ought to be screaming right now. What are we missing? Nothing's changed in history. Who do we always blame it on? Crazy. But if you read the law of Moses, it exactly says, bring in those who were caught in adultery and stone both of them. But we're missing a what? One gets grace. And they caught him in the act, so apparently the dude was there. True. Y'all don't like talking about this, do you? I can tell I'm in Eastern Kentucky. I see the adults going, there are children in here. I help you. They've seen a lot worse than I'm talking about on the computer right now. Amen. They've heard a lot worse at school. True or false? True. See how honest they are to me? You know how I know? I raised two of you. They were in my house. Teenagers. The good news, they grew up and left the house. Hallelujah. Great parenting means they shall not return. That's the joy of parenting. They leave. How many of y'all are raising your kids to leave at 18 and go do something prosperous? If not, get on it. There's nothing crazier than a 30-year-old in his boxer shorts in his mother's basement on the computer posing to be an intellectual. Let me tell you what that is. A loser. Let's get to the truth. The truth will set you free. Make sense? We're going to run out of money and they're going to have to eat. Learn to do something well. The scribes and the Pharisees, they brought in this woman. They traumatized her. Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, what do you say? You know why they said this? They said this to test him. To see who he was. To see what he was about. But we got people every day that test us, don't they? They like to do this with me. Well, what do you think about homosexual marriage? I said, I can't talk about things that don't exist. It's impossible. You can't have homosexual marriage. You can have same-sex partnership, but you can't have homosexual marriage because the definition of marriage requires a male and a female. That's marriage. Now, what? Hold on. We got some homosexuals in here. Please hear me out before you go crazy. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. We all got something, and we need to be compassionate people. I have friends that struggle with homosexuality. And I have other friends that struggle with pornography. And I have friends that struggle, and I'm a struggler myself. You know what I mean? I'm a struggler. You know what I struggle with? I don't like to turn the other cheek real well. I like to interpret that in other ways. Wait a minute, Jesus, you said turn the other cheek. So that means hit them on the right side instead of the left side. That's not what he meant. He's talking about my cheek, not their cheek. Huh? Any of y'all got any struggles? If I didn't have Jesus, I'd be in jail. Anybody else got that kind of lifestyle? How many of y'all can sin easier than you can be righteous? So see, we always got this battle going on. Paul said, I got this old man inside of me that's screaming to the new man, and I better listen to the new man that Jesus made because I know what the old man that Paul made is going to do. There is tension and there is struggle. And we got to let people in on the struggle. Not that we're perfect, we're forgiven. How many of y'all glad to be forgiven? Amen. Anybody in here forgiven? I'm grateful that God forgave a whole sinner like me every day. I was good at sinning. I was just good at it. It just came natural. I know that you were probably naturally righteous. I know you weren't. If me and you had been together without Jesus, we're going to jail. It's just going to happen. Why? Because we naturally want what we want when we want it. Now, let me tell you the problem here. I'm going to show you a problem in Scripture, and I'm going to ask you as a church to bring people to Jesus and quit telling people what you think of them. Quit telling Jesus what ought to happen to them. It's bad. Just tell them Jesus is here. You know what these guys didn't realize? They didn't realize who they were talking to. God. We don't pass the test when we try to test God. You know what God wants you to do as a church? He wants you to love everybody in this city. Now, he doesn't want you to become like them. He wants you to show them what? Love and Jesus. I got friends of mine I've been witnessing to for 40 years. And I want to tell you, stay with it till it happens. Amen? I want to encourage you tonight. Don't give up. I had an old buddy of mine. He's a drunk. He was a drunk, man. He loved to drink. Warning. Guess when he started drinking? Took his first drink when he was 15 years old. And he always tells me, he said, Rev, when you bring this up, let them know my story. I worked construction. He was our electrician. And he drank all day, drank all night. We went through all kinds of crazy stuff and episodes. We'd tell him about Jesus. I'd been telling him about Jesus since I was 16 years old. I'd been telling my buddy about Jesus. He's 40-something. I'd been in Hillview almost 15, 16 years. And all of a sudden, I see the back door of the church open up. And there's my old buddy. He's in his overalls. And he's wore out. I see him coming to the altar. He's coming to the altar. He looked at me and he said, you ain't got to go through the spell. You've been through it for 35 years. He said, I got it. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. But he said, this morning I got it. He said, I bent down on my knees and I told the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm a filthy drunk and I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And there's too many people that have been loving me for a long time. He said, I threw up my arms. I threw up my life. I threw up a lot of things. And I said, Lord Jesus, save me. And he said, he saved me this morning, preacher. Oh, by the way, 35 years of witnessing before that happened. Called his buddy. Our buddy had moved up to Cleveland, Ohio. Came all the way from Cleveland, Ohio to come down to baptize him in Bowling Green, Kentucky. He's faithful in church there for about 3 months, and all of a sudden I didn't see him for about 6 weeks. So I got a little worried. You know, sometimes you can be saved and still fall off the back of the wagon. It can happen. And then he comes into my office, and he's all swole up. He said, well, Rev, the Lord has answered my prayers. I said, what? He said, I told the Lord I didn't ever, ever, ever want to drink again. He said, I'm not. I said, what's the matter? He goes, I got cirrhosis of the liver. He said, there's no mystery of how that happened, is there? He said, in fact, when they told me I had cirrhosis of the liver, he said, my great surprise was I still had a liver. He said, I'm going to die here in about 3 months. But he said, I'm going to heaven, praise God. Now watch. Watch. That's how serious grace is. He died. I preached his funeral. But thank God I got to preach his funeral and tell everybody he was headed to heaven. That's how grace works. Now I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, that ain't fair. For 35 years he got to do all that. There was no pleasure in doing all that. Here's what I'm trying to, for you all to understand. Sin stinks. Go ahead and tell me. Sin stinks. Tell somebody. Sin stinks. It stinks. Adultery stinks. If you've been involved in the sin of adultery, you know the pain it causes in so many people. The sin of adultery, betrayal. But we live in a sexually charged culture, don't we? Sometimes people sin. But let me tell you what Jesus does. Jesus works the impossible. Now, don't forget that. And when you're caught in sin, he'll catch you the rest of the way. When you're caught in sin, Jesus will what? Catch you the rest of the way. And look what happens here. So what do you say? They said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Now watch this. I want you to see how evil religious people are. They will bring a woman caught in a despairing sin before a group of men with their total agenda of getting something on the man they want to accuse. Do they care about that woman? Here's the problem with religious people. They don't care about Jesus. They care about themselves. They care about how they feel. They care about how they look. They care about how they present themselves. They care about the standard that they've made up in their own mind. Jesus can be standing in front of them and they have no clue to who he is. I wonder if Jesus went to some of the churches I preached in, I wonder if they'd recognize him. What if he still had long hair? We know he's been pierced. I wonder if they'd look at the scars in his wrist and go, I wonder what happened to him. I wonder if he went swimming with everybody and we saw that big scar that's in his side, if we thought, man, he must have done something really bad. Somebody to knife him like that. Huh? I wonder what we'd really think of him. And I wonder what we would think of him when he didn't agree with us. Just thoughts. Because he's coming again. Amen. And we're going to be caught. And so guess what I'm saying? You might be caught by somebody, but when you get caught by somebody, I want to tell you, turn and be caught by Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all want to be a church that lets Jesus catch people? Because sometimes we fall, don't we? How many? I mean, people fall. And man, it's so easy to forget that Jesus is a grace. He's a grace Jesus. He's a graceful Jesus. I mean, we live in a crazy society today. You all saw the news 3 or 4 weeks ago, Ashley Madison. It was this website. It was horrible as a website so married people could find somebody to step out on their wife with. I thought, what a lazy society we've become. We can't even cheat by ourselves anymore. Unfortunately, on that list, there were 400 pastors' names that were revealed. One of them, for a split second, so grieved and so repentant of the sin, so tore up by where he had placed his life, that instead of turning to being caught by Jesus, he put a gun and blew his brains out on the other side of the yard. You know why he did that? Because he was a pastor. You see, I understand fully why he did that. Because it's real easy to give grace to everybody else. Because he never received any. And he forgot to be caught by. Well, Jesus has a way of catching us. He catches us when we fall. But he catches self-righteous people in their flaws. Jesus did something very interesting. By the way, I think he helps us as a Christian church be a little better to the world. And so guess what Jesus does? Jesus bends down. It's interesting. He bends down. And he starts writing on the ground with his finger. He wrote with his finger on the ground. Any of y'all ever wonder what he wrote? What do you think it was? I think it was the name of the girlfriends of the Pharisees. Do y'all remember when Bill Clinton got caught with his little, the is? How many of y'all remember the is moment? And remember, you had these self-righteous praying school Republicans. And boy, they were coming after old Bill, weren't they? Boy, he was immoral. He was horrible. He was absolutely the worst person in the world until he sicked the FBI on their personal files and they shut up real quick because they found some girlfriends on those prayer and school senators. What was worse, they found some boyfriends on a couple of them.
And everybody got quiet all at once. You know why? Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some of us. Mm-hmm. Church, I'm really asking us to repent from being self-righteous. And I'm asking us to step in to being righteous. And you know why self-righteousness never works? Because we can't be righteous without Jesus. And y'all have been a church of grace, amen? Have y'all welcomed people caught in adultery? I know you're not going to raise your hand real quick about that. I know you're not going to stand and say, yeah, I'm one of those. I understand. But I want you to know that when you get caught by God, guess what? When you get caught by God, it's a good thing. Somebody say amen. When you get caught by God, it's a good thing. It's a scary thing, but it's a good thing when you get caught by God. Have you ever wondered what God's going to do when he finds out? He's going to love you. He wants to put you back together again. Amen. How many of y'all are glad we don't have the story of Humpty Dumpty? Y'all remember Humpty Dumpty? Remember, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty what? Let me tell you another story. Let me tell you a better story. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And Humpty Dumpty busted into a million pieces. But there was someone standing by them all. And his name was Jesus Christ. And he put every one of them together again. So Humpty Dumpty never had to fall. That is the story of Jesus. Amen. That is the power of grace. Well, I don't know what Jesus wrote. I think it was the girlfriend. That's one of my Jesus questions. I get to heaven and I say, hey, Jesus, you know when you had them Pharisees and you had a woman and you start writing something on the ground, what was it? You're probably going to go, cell phone numbers of those. I don't know. Maybe it's some strippers they've been to see. I don't know. Let me tell you how powerful it was. It was so powerful. That he looked at them and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. Not only did he do it once, he did it. Is it just in case you want to throw a rock, Jethro? What about that? Do you know what Jesus said? You may think you know who this woman is, but I know who you are. You gonna test me? Do you want me to reveal you? Do you really want the world to know who you are? Because Jesus knows who he is. He is the Son of God. God in flesh. The Christos, the Christ, the appointed one, the Messiah. But you don't know who you are. In fact, guess who was better off than the Pharisees? The woman. Because she knew who she was. An adulteress caught in the act of adultery in the need of Jesus. How many of y'all are glad to know when we cry out, Jesus gives an answer? Every time. Not sometime. Every time. Look at the power of this scripture. I can't imagine this. And they've tried to just degrade her. And when they heard it, they went away one at a time, beginning with the older ones. You know why the older ones left first? Their list was longer. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Now, hold on. We're going to get right here. How many of y'all need to stand before Jesus tonight at this altar? And hear what he's got to tell you. Just hear what he's got to tell you. There's some things when we have revival we need to get rid of, Pastor. Some of you need to get rid of shame. You're not a sinner anymore. Let me show you. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? You know why they couldn't condemn her? They were powerless to judge. Now, let me help you. I know that not judging anybody is real cool and really vogue now. But there is a judge. And his name is Jesus. And he resides in heaven. And he will judge every one of us. And guess how he judges us? There's a judgment. You can't be saved without a judgment. Jesus is a judge. Let me tell you what he said. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. That's a judgment. Neither do I condemn you. Now, most people start there and start jumping up and down, don't they? Wow, what a story. We can do anything we want and just ask God to forgive us, and he'll forgive us, and we can just go on and have a big party. Wrong. This is the rest of the story. Go. Go. Uh-oh, what? Go. And from now on, sin no more. I'm standing in the midst of the church, and part of its vision is going and loving and gathering. By the way, just on a sideline, that's a lot better than the first vision y'all had here. I mean, it had volumes connected to it. It's okay, Grant. You read the book, and it was supposed to work like that. I understand. You know what joy we have if we're believers? Guess what Jesus has said? Go and sin no more. And guess what he's really saying in that? Go and live with me. You want to sin less? Pray more. You want to sin less? Worship more. You want to sin less? Love people more. You want to sin less? Pray without ceasing. Have you ever tried to lust and pray at the same time? Try it sometime. Any of y'all ever lusted in here?
No, sir.
Now I'll ask my second one. Anybody ever lied in here? Yeah, watch this. Well, listen, hey, we need to help young people. Hey, listen, lust will get out of control on you real quick. You know how to keep from lusting? Pray while you're trying to lust. Oh, Lord, she looks amazing. Dear Jesus. Son, you talking about changing temperatures, it'll blow it in a minute. Because Jesus will say things like that. That's somebody else's wife. Well, Lord, I was just appreciating the beauty. We'll turn your beauty somewhere else. See what I'm saying? So if you struggle with lust, put prayer where lust used to be. When you turn that computer on, ask Jesus if he wants you to go to that website. I know in a crowd like this, nobody's ever gotten on a negative website. Pornography is so funny. It's a $9 billion business and nobody looks at it. It reminds me of Obama. He got elected and nobody's voted for him. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff we do. Watch. Let's love people, amen? And so I'm asking you to do something tonight. If you're a rock thrower, put them down. And let the rock of ages pick you up. So that you can open your arms to other sinners and show them the grace of God. And let them know that Humpty Dumpty can be put back together again. But all the king's horses and all the king's men, it's real. They can't do it. It takes a God sent from heaven who died on a cross, who's risen from the grave, who is the Son of God. And he can fix anything and everything. Amen. So if you're struggling in your marriage, bring it to the altar tonight. You know how to stay married? Don't quit. And quit living in fantasy. You can't stay married for a lifetime and like each other. The great thing about that, that's not required in marriage. He didn't watch this. We ought to do real vows. You know what I mean? I promise to stay with you as long as you make me happy and feel good. There's another unicorn. Well, I got married to be happy. If you want to be happy, stay single. Now, if you want to be in covenant of a tedious relationship that will absolutely exhaust everything in your being, be married. And you will fall madly in love with Jesus. Maybe you need to bring that. Maybe you struggle with lust. Come, well, listen, you don't have to announce it to everybody. You don't have to stand before the church. But tell Jesus, hey, Jesus, I've been lusting lately. And it ain't gone to where it needs to go yet, but I'm on the road and I want you to derail me right now. How many of y'all need to bring just some sin temptations up and say, God, I want you to take the temptation away? That's good, man. Let him do that. Amen. Have I gotten too real tonight? Is this too real tonight? Y'all got that look at your face like, I cannot believe he's talking like this. Watch. If we're really going to have a church that changes the world, we got to clean the bride up. And I know what we do. We sit in here with secret sin, hoping that nobody will find out. God already knows. So I'd go ahead and tell him that you know, so he won't have to bend down and write it on the ground. Now listen, even you really righteous people, listen, being a bigot, being judgmental, being racist, all of those are very obnoxious to God. Being snooty, causing disruption in his church, creating factions, guess what else is a sin? Now, I know you all don't have any of these in your body of Christ, but I'm just talking about I've seen these in church. Well, I'm going to list them off to you. Found in Galatians, right next to the drunks. Dissensions. Y'all ever seen any dissentious people in the church? Say things about other people that aren't true or they don't know about? Now you can even do it on social media. You can be a total coward and talk about people. I just usually lay out when I get those kind of things said about me on social media. I said, bring it in my office if you got anything about you. And if you're not, shut up. If you can't say it to my face, I don't listen to what cowards have to say in the first place. Because guess what I'll do? Not to you, but if we got a problem, we're going to talk about it. Amen? Because we're supposed to be brothers in what? Lord. Unsaved people act like cowards. It says so in Revelation. They're cowards. Saved people act like brothers and sisters. Any of y'all got brothers and sisters, real ones? I mean, came in the family? Got them in the package? Be honest with me for just a minute. Do y'all always like your brothers and sisters? Thank you for being honest. I don't like mine either. At times. And I've had some fights with them. And I've even said things about them. To them. But if you say something about them, we got a problem. Why? You talking about my what? Well, you know what? If I hear somebody talking about Living Water Church, I get upset. You know why? You know what, Beth, isn't it? Becky Kitchen. Got it. We're not having a kitchen revival right now. We're past that. Right? Check this out. That's the feeding of the 5,000. We're not on that text tonight. Okay, now check this out. By the way, Jesus did that without a kitchen, Becky. I just want to remind you of that. Here's the deal. Every one of you is special to God. Every one of you could be forgiven by God. Every one of you could hear the same words that a woman caught in adultery did. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now I need to ask you a very personal question. Why would you go to hell when Jesus doesn't want you to?
There's
You know, Pastor Harris, you're not intellectual enough for me. I need an intellectual, complicated... That
y'all are so just... I've hung out with you guys. I'm talking in real intellectual schools. And I have come to this conclusion. We have educated ourselves into ignorance. I think reading is like a circle. And you can read this far and you got some sense, but if you take it past that, you turn around and go back to stupid. You got to be careful. Because this is not a very smart thing to do. When the Son of God comes in all of His glory, born in a manger from a virgin named Mary, out of wedlock. Joseph and Mary were married. They had followed the plan. I wonder why God would do it like that. Because He came to show us right from the get-go, you are broken and I will heal it. Because as long as you believe you are not broken, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. You'll tell God stuff like this. Well, I didn't sin that bad. But you see, when you realize you're a sinner, when you really realize you're a sinner, and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Guess what He says? Forgiven. No condemnation found in those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus said that. Now, is there judgment? Yeah. Here's the problem. On the day of judgment, if you don't have Jesus, you stand on your own. That's the problem.
I'd rather live in Jesus than stand before the Ten Commandments. Let's just see how you've done it. Raise your hand if you've passed this commandment. Have no other gods before God. Anybody broke that one? All UK fans, hands up. What about this one? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. I guarantee you everybody's walked more than 400 steps. Part of honoring the Sabbath. What about this one? How many of y'all have ever stole something? Now in Kentucky, we pride ourselves, I ain't never stole nothing. Really? Did you ever look next door when you were in school to the paper just to see if they had the same answer you did? And if yours was blank, you filled in the one they had. Anybody ever do that? You all are a bunch of cheaters. Oh, huh? I'm sure you. I did. I did. But I married the person's paper that I cheated off of most of the time. So I kept it in the family. Guess what that's called? Stealing. No, I got to lust too. What about this one? How many of y'all have ever committed adultery? I bet more of you committed adultery than you think. Because whose standard do you go by on adultery to make that judgment? Yours? Yeah, watch this. Here's Jesus' standard. He said, if you think it in your mind, it's the same as. Now, how did you do? And apparently it never goes away. I was at the nursing home 2 years ago, and there was a crew. These ladies were in their 80s and 90s. Gathered around the TV watching an old rerun of Magnum P.I. And they wasn't thinking about Sunday school when they saw Tom Selleck come out with his shirt off. Now, I thought to me, myself, I was like, girls, what are y'all going to do about it if he was here? Some things die, amen? Watch this. We even got pills that resurrect dead things now. Sometimes God helps us out. He said, if you can't handle it, I'm going to kill it. Is that too forward? It's real. We're in a society that believes we can be entertained by sin. And
tonight I want to offer you not a way out, but a way into life. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Tell him. Just right now as we come to this altar, Pastor, go ahead and bring your folks to the altar. If there's any human being in here that's never asked Jesus in your life, or go ahead, it's okay to check your salvation. Amen. Sometimes you need to check it. Did you get saved or just agree with what they said? Those are big differences. If y'all don't mind, keep the lights up just a little bit. I like to see people. Thank you. I want us to be in a light when we have the altar. I won't give the enemy, he loves darkness. He likes to sneak around. You know what some people tell me? They say, Pastor Harris, you embarrass people. I think it all, religion's a private matter. There's another lie. Jesus didn't get crucified on the cross on a hill far away where nobody could see it. He was crucified on a public street in the midst of the public to declare a public message that anybody who realizes they've sinned can be saved. Anybody. I don't care what kind of sin it is. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus can forgive all sin except rejecting him as Lord and Savior? All you young people got a relationship with Jesus? I hope so. Every one of you been baptized? If not, let's get that taken care of. Amen. Adults, everybody here a believer in Jesus? But obviously in a crowd this size, I guarantee you there's some people here who need to be saved. Amen. Now really check at salvation. Did I ask Jesus to come in my life? Have I repented of my sins? Guess what? We don't understand repentance. Guess what repentance is? I am sorry, and I'm not going to do it away. That's repentance. Repentance isn't just I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance is I want a new life. How many of y'all believe this? If you ask Jesus for a new life, he'll give it to you. Well, absolutely. That's been a tough lesson tonight. But church, we got to wake up. Can y'all tell I'm a little tense right now? You know why? World's going to hell. Quickly. Rapidly. And just sitting here singing just as I am until the Lord comes back is not what we were called to do. So Pastor Grant, I hope we wake up. Jeff, I hope we wake up. We need to quit being mean. We need to drop off our rocks. And we need to pick up Jesus' way. And we need to tell the world, he'll forgive you. Go and sin no more. And we need to get real with people. Because they're going to ask us, Michelle, they're going to ask us, how you know, Michelle? Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know how I know it works? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a man full of sin who asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his life, and that Jesus took my stinking sin and nailed it on the cross and took that hell and put me out the other side of that empty tomb. And he said, boy, now listen to me, and I'm going to take you all the way into heaven. Keep listening to me, because I am the Savior. Amen. Let's stand. Let's come. Let's worship. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, tonight as we come, I pray for those that need to be drawn to salvation that it's happening right now. I pray that they'll say yes to you, Jesus, and they will hear your divine words. Where are they that condemn you? Sir, they're gone. That neither do I condemn you. We pray for those of us, Lord, we're just sorry. Where we've yelled and screamed at the world, I've done it. Instead of love the world with your grace. Jesus, right now at this altar, may we become your agenda. Lord, I apologize where I have fallen short. But I thank you that you stand up where we can't make it. Lord, I pray for my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ that have some lonely places in their lives right now. That they'll just come to you tonight and hear your word, hear your grace, and hear your truth. So, Lord, may you forgive us all. And then may we go tell the world that you will do it. Bring us to this altar. Let us pray over this beautiful city. Lord, may we get a heart where we desire for all people to come to know you. And if we don't have that heart, may we repent and receive your heart, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. As you come tonight, did you know that God desires, he tells us over in 1 Peter, he desires no one to perish. Is that not beautiful? No one. So why don't you come and not perish tonight? Amen. If you've never led somebody to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come and say, Lord Jesus, why have I not been obedient to the first thing you told the disciples to do? I'm just going to go ahead and help you. If you've never shared your faith, please don't claim spiritual maturity. Because think about this. You haven't done the second thing that Jesus asked you to do. First, he said, be baptized. And second, he said, go tell somebody. That's his last words. So let's get real, amen? Say, what's going to happen to our church? She's going to look more like the bride of Christ each and every day. That's a good thing, amen? Well, let's come and let's pray, let's worship, let's love. Please do anything but stand there and stare tonight. Come on.